You and I are only 2 weeks away from Christmas, or getting that way from on Sunday. There's a lot of things that people could do to get ready for Christmas in the next 2 weeks, a lot of things that they could be involved in, and we can be too. As Christians, we realize that it isn't about the tree and the lights and everything else that makes our Christmas, but yet you and I are still to be ready. What should we get ready with or ready for? Well, John the Baptist has a good encouragement for us tonight, and he reminds us to prepare our hearts. Our heart is the place where we love Jesus and where we have our faith. Our heart is the thing that loves God and lives as Christians. Preparing our heart means remembering why the Savior needed to come and how important he is in our lives of faith. Tonight, may we take to heart the words of John that we get ready for Christmas by preparing our hearts and repenting of our sins. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave his word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to prepare the way for your Son, Jesus. By his arrival, give us strength in our troubles and guidance on our way through the darkness of this sin-filled world. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 40. When God wants to comfort us in the Bible, he talks about his love and his care for us. And that's what he's describing here through the words of the prophet Isaiah. He reminds us that we're weak sinners, we need him badly, and yet he comes to us and shows us his love and gives us the salvation that we need. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her. Her warfare really is over. Her guilt is fully paid for. Yes, she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling out, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In the wasteland, make a level highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged ground will become level, and the rough places will become a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it. Yes, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is like grass, and all its beauty is like a wildflower in the countryside. Grass withers, flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Yes, the people are grass. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Get up on a high mountain, O Zion, you herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, you herald of good news. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Look, God the Lord will come with strength, and his arm is ruling for him. Look, his reward is with him. The result of his work is in front of him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arms, he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. Our psalm reading for tonight is Psalm 85. This talks about God's goodness for his people from the past and the present distress, and then how God gives them hope for their future. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored Jacob. You removed the guilt of your people and covered all their sin. You put away your wrath and turned from your burning anger. Restore us, O God, who saves us. Put an end to your indignation with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you extend your anger through all generations? Will you not turn and revive us so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and give us your salvation. I will hear what the true God, the Lord, will say. He indeed speaks peace to his people, to his favored ones, but do not let them turn to foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near for those who fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give good things, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness walks in front of him. It prepares the way for his footsteps. Our final reading is a lesson from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 14. People often ask me why God doesn't just come on the last day on Judgment Day. Isn't the world sinful enough? Hasn't God seen enough? Well, this Bible reading is an answer to that question. God doesn't bring Judgment Day because he has more people that he wants to bring to faith. And if God is patient in waiting for that day, then you and I can be patient too. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow to do what he promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar. The elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat, and the earth and what was done on it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward to and hasten the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, dear friends, as you look forward to these things, make every effort to be found in peace, spotless and blameless in his sight. God's word for our study this evening is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. A voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, "One more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals." I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Dear fellow worshipers, I'm guessing that while we're sitting here in church, there's people who are getting ready for Christmas. I can imagine some over at Walmart buying Christmas presents. Maybe somebody's at home and they're writing out their Christmas cards and getting those ready. Maybe somebody's baking cookies. There's all kinds of things that you could be doing to get ready for Christmas, and we enjoy those things too. We enjoy those things that go along with the Christmas holiday. But as believers, you and I realize that the story of Christmas isn't about just those things, like some people think. It's about the baby in the manger and all that he means to us as our Savior. And because we understand that Jesus had to come to save us from our sins, we realize how serious sin is and what sin can do to us. And so when John the Baptist told people to get ready, he wasn't saying get the road ready or get your town ready. He wasn't saying get other things ready. He was really talking about their hearts, about dealing with their sin and turning to the Lord for the forgiveness that they were looking for. Well, this evening we have the opportunity to study these words of John and to prepare ourselves for Christmas by doing just what John said and repenting of our sins. God had made the promise of a Savior to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden right after they fell into sin. He promised that the Savior, Messiah, as he was known in the Old Testament, would be coming. God didn't say when, but he promised it, and so people could believe that that was going to happen. Well, it took a few thousand years later, and now Jesus is going to come into the world. And because it's been such a long time, God had prophesied through Isaiah that he was going to send someone to go ahead. Someone to tell the people, okay, get ready, Jesus is coming, the Messiah. Well, that man was John the Baptist. John was really unusual. His birth, for example, was unusual. His parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had been married for a long time, had no children, and now they were beyond childbearing years. Zechariah was a priest, and he served in the temple. And one day an angel came to talk to Zechariah and say, Zechariah, you and your wife are going to have a baby, and this son is going to prepare the way for the Savior, and you're going to name him John, and these are the things that he's going to do. Well, if you remember the Bible story, Zechariah doubted what the angel said, and then he wasn't able to speak until the baby was born. Just like God promised, he sent John the Baptist into the world through Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then there were more unusual things about John. After he grew up, he lived out in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. He was a Nazarite. He didn't cut his hair. He didn't drink alcohol. He wore camel's hair clothing with a belt around his waist. Must have looked like kind of a rough character. But the important thing about John the Baptist was the message that he shared with people. And it was a message about getting ready for Jesus to come into the world. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." We've talked about that word repent before. Repent means to have a complete change for something. Maybe I can use an example that will show you that. Every once in a while, the kids have one of these little nylon baskets, and then there's caterpillars in there. And they wait till the caterpillars make a cocoon and a chrysalis, and then it comes out to be a beautiful monarch butterfly. Then they let them go outside. They do that at the nursing home, too. Well, think about the change. Here's this caterpillar, this green caterpillar, and then it turns into a monarch butterfly that can fly away. A complete change from one to the other. Metamorphosis. Well, that's the basis of the Greek word for repent. It's a complete change from one to the other. So when John says here, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, he's saying make a complete change with your life, your spiritual life. Repent means I change my mind about my sin. I realize it's a sin. I realize this is not something God wants me to do. So I'm going to change it. I'm going to get away from it. Repenting also means not only a change, but you're also getting rid of that sin. You're changing your heart about it and your mind about it. In your heart, the easiest thing to do is to love sin because we're sinners. But now I realize that God doesn't want me to do this. I know that in my mind. And if God hates sin, well, now I hate sin too. It's a complete change from one to the other. Repenting doesn't mean that you'll never commit that sin again. But this is the difference. When you repent, you're asking God to help you stay away from that sin in the future. And by making these changes of mind and heart, God can enable you through your faith to do that. And that's what John was telling the people who were listening to him here. He talks about smoothing out the roads in this Bible reading, or that was the prophecy. And when someone important traveled around in Bible times, you can imagine the rough roads that they had. Maybe they were riding in chariots or wagons, no suspension, pulled by animals, would have been very rough. So they went out and they kind of smoothed out the roads as best they could. Well, John uses that example to talk about what we're doing for Jesus, to prepare for the Savior. We're not straightening out our town or smoothing out the roads or doing decorations. He really wants us to prepare our hearts. And that was the message that he gave when he came into the world. Prepare your hearts by repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus. Did John's message have an effect? Well, here's some Bible verses that come after our reading. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, that is John, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. They came to hear what John had to say, and by hearing what God's word was, the Holy Spirit was able to create faith in their hearts. And then, because of that faith, the people wanted to be baptized, and that's what John did at the river. He's baptizing people, all kinds of people. So they not only heard the word, but they believed it, and then they were baptized. They were preparing their hearts for Jesus to come. And now he was finally coming into the world. And at that first Christmas, when Jesus was born, and now John is preparing him the way to start in his earthly ministry, Jesus himself is going to come and be baptized by John when he's 30 years old. Now people understand, Jesus is arriving. We need to be ready. We need to prepare. And there was only one way to do that, to repent and show God that change of heart and mind. In our lives of faith, it's really important for us to understand what confession and repentance and forgiveness, what all of that means. Sometimes people look for new things to do at Christmas time. Maybe they do a new family tradition, or maybe they get a new tree, or maybe they're going to go on a trip this year for Christmas instead of staying home. There's all kinds of things that you could do to change Christmas up and maybe make it more special. But the message of Christmas is still the same, thankfully. God sent Jesus into the world to help us deal with our sins. And so for you and me, that involves certain things. And we do this every church service, and we did this already tonight. We confess our sins. We admit our sins to the Lord. And we did that in our liturgy. We often say, Father, I've sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, my actions. I've done what is evil, failed to do what is good. Confession is important. I'm not just sorry that I sinned, but I'm actually admitting to God the sinfulness that's in me that he wants to forgive. The second step after confession is repenting. Sometimes people confuse confession and repentance, and they think all they need to do is say, I'm sorry, and then they're forgiven, and then they can go back out and do the same thing. But that's not what God tells us. We admit our sin to him. We're 100% sinner, and then we repent of that sin. We realize this isn't how God wants us to act or live or things that he wants us to do. And with his help, we stay away from those sins in the future. Then there's really an important third step. and that is forgiveness. When a Christian confesses their sin, and then they repent of that sin, and they have that change of heart and mind, then God wants us to know that we are forgiven, that He has taken away all of our sins, and He even forgets what those sins were. Sometimes that's how this sounds, the absolution that I have the privilege to speak after we confess our sins. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to His will. That's forgiveness. God wants us to know that we're forgiven of all of our sins, and that because of that forgiveness, we also have our salvation. Something special that you and I get to do today, this evening, is to receive Holy Communion. Holy Communion is bread and wine, and it's special because as we receive it, the Bible tells us that we also receive Jesus' true body and blood. Well, if you are looking for an assurance of forgiveness, this is what Holy Communion does. It's a personal thing for us. Excuse me. It's a personal thing where the Lord says, I forgive you of your sins. It's a visible thing where we're eating a wafer and drinking wine, and then in a way that we don't understand, we're also receiving Jesus' true body and blood. Holy Communion is there to assure us that we are forgiven of all of our sins. It's there to strengthen our faith in the fact that we are forgiven of all of our sins. And that knowledge really changes us. It reminds us of what's important in our lives, our faith. It reminds us why Jesus is so important at Christmas time. It's not just about His birth and the stable, and those things are nice. We need to know those things. But it's about the reason why He came and what He has done to take away all of our sins. What a wonderful thing we have the opportunity to do again this year. Get ready to celebrate Christmas. All those things are fun. But really getting ready means remembering why Jesus came and preparing our hearts to see how much we need Him. And as we confess and repent of our sins, we see exactly how valuable our Savior is, and the things that He has done to take away all of those sins. I can remember when my boys were young and we'd celebrate Christmas that they always had one big present that they wanted. You know, maybe they wanted a little gifts of different kinds. But when they made out their list, they always had one big one that they wanted. And I remember one year one of the boys got what they wanted and they said, "This is the best Christmas present ever." Well, that probably lasted for that Christmas, but the next year, you know, it'd be something else. We're all a little bit like that, aren't we? We get things that we want, and then we want something different, and then something different after that. We're the same way. What's the best Christmas present that you've ever received? Can you think of one? Maybe something that you wanted? And yet, even for us as adults, the best present doesn't really last. Why is Jesus so important to us? Because the Christmas message never changes. Some people wonder, well, why do you celebrate Christmas again? I know about Jesus' birth. I know what He did. Born in the barn. Yep, all that stuff. I know all that. Why do we need to do that again this year? That's because we need to hear about our sins again. We need to hear about the reason why Jesus came. We need to hear about the things that He did to take away all of those sins. And that's something worth celebrating every single year, several times during the year, because we need that Savior. And as He comes to us with His wonderful, unconditional, and unlimited love, He shows us exactly what He does to save us. A lot of people are getting ready for Christmas. We are too. May the Lord help us to prepare by preparing our hearts, repenting of our sins, and then trusting in that forgiveness that Jesus gives us by faith. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll confess our faith tonight using a version of the Apostles' Creed. Living in a world where people believe that the universe was formed through chance and accident, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Living in a world where people are confronted with the guilt and punishment of sin, what do you believe Jesus did for you? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Living in a world where people are without hope and certainty, what do you believe? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Dear Lord Jesus, we look forward with joyful hearts to the approaching celebration of your birth. We're thankful that you came here as one of us to lay down your life to save us from our sins. You are our God, our everlasting King, and yet so that you might rule sinners like us with grace and forgiveness, you left your throne above and appeared here in weakness, poverty, and humility. With perfect obedience, you kept the law for us. In anguish of soul, you bore our sins for us. And in great suffering, which finally ended in your death, you were punished in our place. We praise you, dear Jesus, for the precious gift of yourself, your very life for our salvation. Dear Savior, we know that it is not the will of our Heavenly Father that anyone should perish, but that all should come and be saved and come to that knowledge of the truth. O, fill the world with the gospel's joyous sound, that hearts everywhere may realize what Jesus is all about, how he came to save them as well from their sins. In your great love, prepare us for your coming. Help us to welcome you through your word, which grants us our salvation. Make us ready through genuine repentance to welcome you when you come again in power and great glory on the last day. We confess that we have often been self-willed, doing things our way instead of your way. Remind us of our forgiveness and help us to rejoice in it each day. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we'll also join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.